If you thought green and fuzzy carryout, indelicate, and just plain smelly, wait until you hear Jacob Blickenstaff's review of the latest installment in the Indiana Jones series.
Damn, I thought that was closer.
The latest installment of the Indiana Jones film series, The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, came out last summer and has been available on DVD since the fall. This adventure takes Indy from the desert southwest to South America in search of a fabled crystal skull. Now, I grew up with the Indiana Jones films, but the introduction of an alien plotline to the franchise was so disappointing I had not intended to review the movie for my column. That all changed when I noticed the term nuke the fridge becoming part of popular culture. The phrase refers to an early scene in the film in which Indy saves himself from a nuclear blast by hiding in a refrigerator before it's blown many hundreds of meters through the air. He emerges from the fridge unscathed, despite the blast, high temperature, and radiation exposure. Now, I'll provide more details about the physics problems with this in a moment, but the departure from reality was so obvious it bothered many viewers, even those who normally wouldn't think about the scientific principles involved. In fact, the Urban Dictionary, at UrbanDictionary.com, explains Nuke the Fridge now refers to a scene in a film so incredible it makes the remainder of the movie less enjoyable because, quote, it lessens the excitement of subsequent scenes that rely on more understated action or suspense, unquote. I certainly felt that way about The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. So what are the problems with the fridge scene? Well, some aspects are historically accurate. 1957 was a busy year for nuclear testing at the Department of Energy's Nevada test site, so Indy's chances of being there during a test were relatively high. Scientists really did build mock communities to test the effects of blasts at various distances from ground zero. Unfortunately, the realism stops there, and movie fantasy begins. Now, based on the size of the weapons tested in 1957, the explosion is probably in the 15 kiloton range, or the equivalent of about 15,000 tons of TNT. The shockwave totally destroys the fake town, placing Indy about a kilometer from the blast and within the zone of immediately lethal radiation. The thin lead lining of the fridge would not be enough to protect him. When the shockwave launches Indy's fridge into the air, it flies with a very flat trajectory for about 10 seconds. If we assume the launch angle of about 5 degrees, we can use an understanding of projectile motion to calculate how fast the fridge was going at liftoff. The details of this calculation are in the online version of this review on the NSTA website, but it turns out that Indy is going faster than the speed of sound, wedged into an unpadded metal box. I'm sorry, but that's not a survivable trip. The web review also addresses some issues with magnetic forces and inertia, but I'd like to end this podcast on a more positive note. There is one good example of correct physics in the movie that could be used in the classroom. Physics teachers often have difficulty convincing students that the vertical motion of a projectile is independent from the horizontal motion. If no horizontal force acts on a projectile, it will maintain its horizontal speed while in the air. Now, in the midst of the jungle chase in Crystal Skull, Professor Oxley is holding the skull when it bounces straight up and out of a moving jeep, only to land right back into his arms. A nifty demonstration of this property of projectile motion.
You're a teacher?
Part time.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.